Hey guys, thank you for listening to the Dysfunctionals. I hope you've been educated and entertained and inspired by the previous episodes that have been released. Stay glued and keep listening. Peace.
Welcome to another episode of the Dysfunctionals. My name is Oluwati Shebensin. You guys already know that. And today, I'm here with the man of God. He's a very powerful man. Is my father in the Lord too. Dad, please introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Pastor Kelvin Olorunishola, pastor in Park Cathedral, Wokom. And by the grace of God, the Lord has been helping us in the work of the ministry along with a powerful team in the same ministry.
Hallelujah. How has been the journey so far from when you started to when from when God called you to now? How has it been like?
Of course, I want to say that God has been so faithful concerning the work He has committed to our hands, particularly now that we are in a very challenging time. But yet, at every point since I began to this moment, very moment, at every point in time when it seems as if the call is a little bit challenged, God has been showing up for us. Not just for myself, for my family and the team. So he kept us going, and we know that he's always with us, and we do not doubt the call. I thank God that today we can always look back at those landmines, spiritual landmines. We can always look back to see the hand of God seeing us through. I give glory to God.
Hallelujah. Talking about spiritual landmines, which landmines do you think you've struggled with the most from your experience as a pastor?
Number one, there are family challenges that one had to really depend on God's grace to surmount. The care of the children, particularly in school, yeah, the care, the family upkeep. Then sometimes we all know that we may have, as a pastor, disagreement one or the other with one's spouse. Those are landmines that the enemy will want us to trip, that trips us off. But thank God, at every moment, just as I said earlier, God will always come to give wisdom and direction. You know, He said that we instruct you, Psalm 32, verse 8, that we instruct you and I will teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. So in those times, we always have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us through these blind minds. The things that the enemy has set to chip us off in the journey, God will use them to elevate us. Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. Another question I want to ask is, in your journey as a pastor, you say that there are some people that you look up to, that are also man of God,
yeah,
that you like look up to, or yeah, you look up to. Who are these people? Like maybe they might be authors or like pastors that, you know, maybe influenced your the way you're preaching and everything. Like, who are these people?
Number one, I will forever be grateful to my mentor, my leader, my father-in-law, Apostle Sunday Popola. Many years he has been a source of light to my life and family and ministry. He has been my mentor for over 20 something years. leading faithfully, leading us faithfully in this journey of this, in my journey of ministry, And I also say that he has tremendously contributed to my growth as a Christian, then my elevation as a servant of God. I've gotten a lot of, he has been a model, and I've gotten a lot of inspiration from his teachings, from his life, and all other things he has modeled to us. We also have other men of God that, of course, from far, they've been our mentors from far, from distance. People like Baba Adeboye, people like T.D. Jakes, people like John Hagee. Those are mentors from far. We read their books, and we listen to their messages, but not as close as our father and the Lord of Akson, but not as close. And these other mentors, they have also helped in shaping and sharpening my spiritual life and ministry.
How would you define your ministry, sir? Like your leadership style and every other thing about you?
Of course, my leadership style is simple. One thing I always like to do is to work in a team. When I'm a leader, I want to always, at the end of my leadership, maybe face in leadership, I want to have impacted people that will carry on with the work. You know, leadership is in phases, and I've gone through some phases in my ministry. And so at each phase, I want to work in a team. I want to have a team that we can rub minds together, work together. Then I'll be able to impact as much as possible the little ideas I have with those teams, so that when I leave, I can always leave a footprint to make that team continue. My leadership style is a type where I don't want to feel, or I don't want to behave as a boss. I don't want to be a boss. I'm not a boss. I want to be a model, a person you can always relate with. Even if I'm leading the team, I've led many things. And I don't want, and I have not behaved like a boss. We rub minds together because I'm somebody that always want to learn too, even from those that I feel I mentor, from those that I feel
look up to you.
Yes, they look up to me. I learn, because in spiritual parlance, we learn from each other. You can't say you've known it all. You learn from each other. God will be giving somebody that is not, that looked up to you, revelations. And when God gives him revelation, it becomes first hand. So you can gain from this revelation. And you also, when you have yours, you share it with humility. But you will not share it as if you know it all. It's in humility you share what you have as the team leader. Then you can also get some from those other members of the team. That's how I always want to lead.
Over the years of you being a pastor, sir, you can say that you've had situations where members of the church come to meet you to like share their problems with you, rely on you with some certain burdens. How do you like elevate their spirit? How do you encourage them, or what story do you share?
Most of the problem we have in church is either family or financial problems, or people having difficulties. Sometimes we also have help. Like if it is in terms of family, we always counsel people that comes with family challenge with the scriptures, because there is a manual for the family It is so pathetic that people do not want to follow the manual. God has given us the manual, just like every gadget has manual of, for operation.
Yes.
Also, it is in the family, we have the manual for operation. And if we follow the manual, things will go on well. The leader of the family, which is the husband, the wife, the children, how we ought to conduct ourselves is in the scripture. And so when people come with such challenge, they may not understand their own role. They may think their rights, which show them the manual. Let each member of the family follow the manual. Things will be right in the home. Then if it is health problem, we look at it also, because the Bible is complete. It has manual for everything, aspect of life. If it is health problem, we do not just pray for people and say, ah, be healed. No, check their lifestyle. If your lifestyle does not conform to that which will give you sound health, it will, even if they pray for you, it will get worse. So you check the lifestyle. If the lifestyle is not in conformity with health rules, then we tell you to correct it. Then we can also pray for you. We can tell you, we can advise you to see a medical doctor. It's not a sin as a Christian to visit to see the doctor. In fact, it's good for you. But if it is spiritual, if the health issue is as a result of a spiritual attack, then we can handle it spiritually. Then we have other people coming with their career. They want you to tell them if the choices they should make concerning one career. That we have helped people, giving them counsel by the Holy Spirit. That okay, it seems the Holy Spirit wanting you to toy in this area of business or career. And sometimes we see great results.
You made mention earlier about the family challenges that you face and how God has helped you, or how He's still helping you. How do you balance them sometimes? There are some things that you have to go to church for a program, and also there's this family emergency.
Okay, yeah.
How do you balance that?
Well, that's very important. You see, the church or ministry begins in your home. As a pastor, after my relationship with God is number one. Then my family comes next, before ministry. Because somebody said that is Maxwell is one of my mentor too. John Maxwell says, if it is not working at home, don't export it. That's what he said. It's not working at home, don't export it. So if your Christianity is not working at home, you don't need practicing it outside. Because it will be hypocritical. It will be hypocrisy. Beg your pardon. So when I have family challenge and I have ministry assignment, I will settle family challenge first. I have a little differences with my wife. I will settle that first before I go for ministry work. But thank God, God has been really helping us. That most time when we have a challenge at home, the Lord settles it so that we can do the work of the ministry. It doesn't linger. We don't allow it to linger. Our indifferences and all, we don't allow it to linger. But in the real sense, I want to say that when a man has a pastor, a leader in church, have a family struggle or anything, he should settle that first, because you can't do ministry when you have not your home is not settled. You can't do ministry. But if it is problem with the children, if it is problem with the children, we can't say problem with the children is what you can solve. Even while doing ministry work, it's what you can solve. What I really mean is that you allow the Holy Spirit to help you as you are doing ministry, problem with the children, and challenge with the children can't stop you in the work of the ministry. What I mean is that you can always ask God to help you as you are doing ministry work, to help you work on your children. But I'm not saying children are not important. They are very, very important too. That's why every day, when most of my children are still with me, we commune together in the things of the world. We tell them about the world. We tell them about the importance of morals, to have a high moral and be a model in the community and the society and the nation. We continually tell them about the things of God. And the children have been cooperating. Of course, I'm not saying they are perfect, but at least they have been cooperating so that we can have time for the church, the work of the ministry. They are very important in the family too. But as I am now, most of the children are in school, some of them on their own. So it gives us more room to face the work of the ministry.
This next question, sir, is a two-in-one question.
Okay.
Because there was this church that I attended that I noticed that they don't play certain instruments.
Okay.
And when I tried to like ask the members of the church why, they said that they are, the general overseer of the church does not believe in some certain instruments. He feels that the instruments are not something you should play in church.
Okay.
And this, that's now my question, the first question is, do you also feel that way, that there are some certain instruments that shouldn't be played in church? And the second one is, how important is worship music, yes, in Christian gathering?
You see, Psalm 150 talked about praising God with all kinds of instruments. In fact, some of the instruments he mentioned in that Psalm 150, we don't even use them. But because of the of technology, we have been privileged to have all kinds of musical instruments. Musical instruments to support worship.
Yeah.
And in my own opinion, in accordance with the scripture, you can use any kind of instrument. It's not even the instrument that matters. It's the heart. It's the heart that exhibits the worship. If the heart is right, you understand? I can carry two bottles and begin to hit and praise God. I don't think God will reject it. Just two bottles and carry a stick and be hitting it and singing. If my heart is right with God, God will accept it. Talk of anything that technology helps us to manufacture and sing it. The moment your heart is right, God will accept the worship.
He
will accept the worship. But if a denomination says they feel it's a sin to use a kind of instrument, that is them. That is them. And I'm not condemning them. That is their opinion. And they should not also condemn people that use it. When David danced and everything, somebody condemned him. You know the end. The wife condemned him, and the end was not good for that woman. Leave him alone. Anybody praising God, the moment the heart is right, I think it's acceptable.
Thank you. And the second one about music in the Christian gathering. How important is it?
Music is so powerful in Christian gathering. Worship is powerful because that's what brings the presence of God. He said he inhabits the praises of his people. When we do it the right way, just as I said, from the heart, God comes down. He's glad that we praise him. He's glad that we worship him. He's glad that we rejoice. You see, you find out that people come to church with a moody countenance. But the moment a good music starts, particularly it's coming from people that are choir that is prepared, singers that are prepared, countenance begin to change. See people smiling, jumping. People are glad. I love when my children are with me. I love to see them rejoicing. As a man, I love to see them rejoice. But if all of them stay gloomy and they are not happy, I will not be happy myself too. It's the same thing with God. We are people of the spirit. God rejoices when he sees his children rejoices. When he sees his children rejoicing, he himself too, he's glad. He inhabits their praise. He comes to bless them. He comes to to heal them in the midst of worship, in the midst of praises, in the midst of when music and all kinds of instruments are used. God is glad. That's my take on that.
Thank you, sir. The next question is about the church itself. Like, how have you been able to influence the culture of the church and the members of the church? Like, how have you been able to influence their way of life? And
yeah, you see, before you can influence people, you have to your life first. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, towards the end, he said, take heed to yourself. That's number one. And to the doctrine. Your life first. Take heed to yourself. Make sure you are always, as a leader, I made sure I was and I'm always connected to God. Just as I said, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but daily I make sure my relationship with God is right. If I find out that there is a sense of not being satisfied, I go to Him. I receive cleansing by the blood. He said, come boldly to my throne of grace by the blood, that you may obtain mercy and find grace. I go. I receive cleansing. I receive sanctification. I reconnect through the word. What the word does, I reconnect to Him. And daily, I study the word so that my life can be in line with what the word of God says. Then, when I go to the assembly, I model that life. Not only in words, in actions. I model it. I'm a mentor to many. I'm a pastor to many. So I have to model that life. Not only in the church. I make sure in the community. The reason is that when I behave differently in the community, people in the church will hear. So that they will not say, look at, this is what we are hearing about our mentor or our pastor. No. When they will hear, they should hear good things. It encourages them too. Because the power of your word is in your life, your lifestyle. That's the power of your word. The power of your word is in your lifestyle. That's how it works.
Thank you, sir. So I don't want to waste much of your time. The last questions I want to ask you are, what is evangelism to you, and how important is evangelism?
Evangelism is our call. It's our call. It's a core area that every Christian must take as out of the topmost priority. Like me, that's how I take it. Apart from my relationship with God, evangelism is one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, because it's the opportunity God has given to us to express His life to other people. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he said, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, this same thing commit to faithful men who will also commit to others. So the things, if we are sure of the life we have received, then we should be able to communicate it to other people. We should be able to say it to other people so that their life also might be influenced by the life of God. Their life also, you see, First John says, the things that we have heard, the things that we have seen, the things that we have handled, these same things we communicate to you so that you can have fellowship with us. We can't have people can't know God, people can't know Christ, except if when we share those things we have experienced, those things we have heard. And that's evangelism. Sharing those things you have heard, seen by revelation and experience, you have practiced, then you share with other people. So it's very, very important. How do we make the gospel spread? It's by sharing through evangelism. So I think it's so important. That's our life. That's my life, and that should be the life of every Christian. Somebody says, a river is known A river is living when you see it flowing. It's known to be alive when you see it flowing. The same thing, a Christian is known to be alive when he shares the word of God, when he allows the word of God to flow through him to make other people believers.
So then, thank you very much, sir. And before we end this episode, sir, I wanted to just say like a few words to the listeners and bless us.
Yeah, one of the most important things I will say to believers is to encourage them to stand in this challenging time, particularly in our country. We are in a challenging time. The challenges are enormous, that any Christian that do not get closer to God will fall. Yes, it's a frightening word, so to say, but God is our anchor at this time. God is our strength at this time. So we must get closer to Him, daily communing with Him through His word and prayers, and always coming together with Christians, so that we can, because iron sharpeneth iron, as the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, so that we can strengthen one another. By doing that, it will be difficult for the devil to infiltrate our communion, our relationship, and defeat us. It will be difficult for the devil to defeat us or to bring us down through the landmines, which is in our pathway. So I want to encourage the church or the brethren, let's keep close to God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as many as are listening to this podcast will be strengthened.
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit will uphold you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That He will shine His light upon you. He will grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
And the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You will not fail, you will not fall, you will not falter. We will make it through this challenging time to see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.